Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, your weekly guide through matters crucial to families and the preservation of traditional values in the Commonwealth and beyond. Archives of this and past shows are available at afaofpa.org. Now your host, a dedicated advocate for family values and the director of the American Family Association of Pennsylvania, Diane Gramley.
We are getting ready to celebrate the birthday of the Bill of Rights. I mean, I think a lot of times we forget about the Bill of Rights. We hear mostly about the First and Second Amendments. Those seem to be the two that are emphasized more than anything else, but there's actually more than that, and there's a lot of history behind that. And today, my guest is Karis Coker. She's a retired homeschool mom of 10. She also leads tours through the American Liberty Tours in Philadelphia, and I think you do some Baltimore also in that area. And you're preparing for the 34th Annual Bill of Rights Banquet in New Holland, if I'm remembering correctly. So thanks,
Karis. Yes, that's correct.
Thanks, Karis, for being with us.
Oh, thank you, Diane, for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
So give us just a real short why we have the Bill of Rights.
Why we have the Bill of Rights.
Yep.
Well, going back to records, even before the Magna Carta, you know, the Magna Carta was just to put them in writing so that the king couldn't deny them. Then those were carried forth. There were times throughout English history, 1628 and the 1500s as well, and then 1689, when the kings were reminded that these were the ancient rights of the Englishmen.
Yeah.
And so they brought that with them to America and their charters. They brought those rights with them in their charters for the different colonies. So over time, King George III decided that the people in the New World did not have the right to determine how their own taxes would be paid. And when they began to introduce taxes, and it particularly came to a head with the Stamp Act tax in 1663 or 1665, that was a tax that was determined in the manner in which it would be collected by the Parliament and the Crown. And that was why the Americans protested, beginning with Patrick Henry's protest, which went viral up and down the coast. Within 2 weeks, there were objections. People had objected before, but Henry was the first one who stood up and said, we will not pay this tax.
Right.
We will surrender our ancient rights if we do.
So our definition of viral has changed from 2 weeks to 2 minutes? You say went viral. Go ahead.
Interesting. Yes, right. So these were ideas that were in the hearts and minds of the people as part of their own legacy, their own inheritance. Their own parents had considered these things and held them very dear. And so anyway, it was the opposition to the king, the crown, and Parliament's encroachment upon their right being on this side of the Atlantic, as opposed to the rights still retained by the persons on that side of the Atlantic, that led to, ultimately, the Declaration of Independence. It was not to get rid of the crown. It was not to get rid of a monarch. It was to preserve for themselves and posterity their inherited rights as Englishmen.
Right.
So after the war, they then saw the need for a stronger framework of government, drafted the Constitution. There was some controversy in that convention over whether or not it was necessary to add a Bill of Rights. They all were in favor of it, but each of the states had their own Bill of Rights, and James Madison there argued, look, this is a government of limited powers. It can only exercise authority where it is stated. But wiser minds, Patrick Henry, George Mason, and others saw that the day would come when that would not be sufficient, and the federal government would overreach its boundaries. So they insisted that a Bill of Rights be added, and that James Madison, it's interesting, he was the leading opponent of the need for a Bill of Rights because the constitutional framework he had provided that they adopted was one of limited powers and only delegated powers. And so Henry opposed Madison's appointment as a senator from the state of Virginia, which led Madison then to run for congressman as a member of the House of Representatives. And he promised, if you will elect me, I will get a Bill of Rights passed. I'll do all I can. And he kept that promise.
Right.
And that's why then it was sent out to the states in 1789 for ratification. Virginia's vote met the quota necessary for it to become part of the Constitution on December the 15th, 1791.
Right.
So
wow,
there we are.
Our founding fathers were so wise about human nature, Because look where we are now. I mean, granted, our Constitution does delegate certain rights or certain authority to the federal government, and we see the federal government getting stronger and stronger, unfortunately, and taking away states' rights and, in some cases, individual rights. Yeah, there were 12 amendments sent out to the states, and 10 of those were ratified. So that's where we get the first 10 amendments of the Constitution or the Bill of Rights. Of course, we mostly hear about First Amendment and the Second Amendment, but there's so much more to that. And you know, I also hear about taking the Fifth and such as that. But all fair, you mentioned the Ninth and Tenth Amendments. Talk a little bit about those two amendments specifically.
Yes, those are critical. And frankly, we're so engaged in preserving the rights that are listed in the other 8 articles, right to trial by jury and no cruel and unusual punishment, which I think calls into question the mistreatment of Tina Peters, but that's a different subject.
Yeah.
But Article 9 and 10, Article 9 says that the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights, in other words, those that are listed in Article 1 through 8, shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. So Article 9 refers to the rights that may not be listed, but they are still retained by the people. What are those? That's a big question I hope to have to look into.
Right.
Article 10 is the one, it doesn't speak of rights, it speaks of powers. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. So there are the rights reserved to the people in Article 9, and the powers that are reserved to the states or to the people that are in Article 10.
So why don't
those
states,
are very,
absolutely, especially the 10th Amendment, it always just boggles my mind. The 10th Amendment is there specifically saying if Congress has not been given this power through the Constitution and that goes to the states. Why are the states ignoring
that? No, not
that?
Necessarily.
Or the
it
people, states or the people.
Okay. Yeah, it's reserved to the states. And it's interesting they use the term states' rights, we do, but it's speaking of powers. It does not use the term rights with regards to states.
And that's true, yeah.
Yeah.
So how, if that were working properly, how would that look?
Well, I think it would certainly have an impact on the illegal immigration in each state, that each state should be authorized, such as the governor of Texas, to protect his border and forbid persons who are not American citizens from coming into the country.
Yeah, which they tried to do that, and under the Biden administration, they were blocked by some judge.
Correct, right.
So,
if it's an inland, today we have with air travel, and we know that they have flown persons from near the border inland to cities and at night, and people have done undercover filming and footage of these boatloads, not busloads, but plane loads.
We had these ghost flights coming into Scranton, and I'm sure other areas too. I mean, it's impacted.
Yeah.
That whole immigration issue does not just impact the border states on the south, but also every single state, all 50 states in the country, and we have acknowledgement of that. Just look what's going on in Minnesota at this point with their craziness up there.
Right. So it should be the state should have the power to remove from the state and send back to their home country persons who are illegally here.
That would definitely free up.
That's one example.
Yeah, that would definitely free up some federal, because we have ICE agents such as that hunting down folks who are here illegally, and that would free up. And then we have Illinois and California and, the quote-unquote sanctuary states that I don't think anybody should live in. But anyway.
The very idea, but we're dealing also at this time, many of the persons who have facilitated this illegal
immigration,
relocating of non-Americans who are not here legally, did not go through the proper process, they weren't. But here we are going through all kinds of insulting, humiliating procedures at the airport. While they have the border wide open, come on in.
Yeah.
And then you have everyone being forced to take certain unpleasant measures for avoiding sickness, and they're not doing any vetting of the health condition. Here in Delaware County, there's the wonderful, it's been wonderfully restored by the township down there, in Essington, the Lazaretto House, which was a location when ships from overseas would bring immigrants. They stopped at the Lazaretto, and there every passenger was examined. And if they were sick, they were quarantined in the Lazaretto House.
Oh.
And they had medical care.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was deemed to be something that was egregious, that could not be resolved for them to enter into our community and our country, then they were sent back to their country. Or if it was something that cleared up, and then they were able to move on up and check in at, as a legal immigrant.
Wow.
But no vetting now.
None
of
whatsoever.
The healthcare.
Yeah, none whatsoever. And that's why we see, you know, we've heard reports within the last year of cases of diseases in this country that we had not heard of for decades and decades. But it's because, like
right.
you're saying, the illegal immigrants are not being vetted in any way, shape, or form. So
tuberculosis is one of those.
That's true. That's right. Tuberculosis. Yeah. I think smallpox too, but I'm not positive about that. But tuberculosis. I can't talk today. So December 15th, 1791, Virginia was the last state that required to ratify the Bill of Rights.
To meet the quota. Other states who had not yet ratified it did afterward, but that met the quota necessary.
Okay.
To be part of the Constitution.
Right. That's it. Okay, so Virginia gets a star there. Is there anything, I know September 17th is Constitution Day, and there are laws that require schools to teach about the Constitution on that day. Are there any such laws dealing with the Bill of Rights and teaching the kids about the Bill of Rights?
Yes, there are. And a friend sent me something years ago and just told me that Bill of Rights Day was in the Pennsylvania Constitution of Holidays to be observed. But I just recently found where it is, and it was in the 1949 Pennsylvania Act 14, Chapter 15, Article 15D, Section 1545. And if you want more details, I can give it to you. But it reads like this: A Bill of Rights Week. The Department of Public Instruction shall designate a week during each year and prescribe a uniform course of exercises to be carried out during that week in the public schools to instill into the minds of the pupils thereof the purpose, meaning, and importance of that portion of the Constitution of the United States and of this Commonwealth known as the Bill of Rights. Exercises shall be in addition to the prescribed courses of study.
So an entire week.
Yes.
Be interesting this, to check out the Pennsylvania Department of Education's website to see what they have to say about how to go about that, teaching that.
You know, at the time that we began our Bill of Rights work, it was in the bicentennial year
mm-hmm.
because of the dearth. I mean, there was hardly anything being done, and the Philip Norris exhibit turned out to be a top-notch, high-tech ACLU rendering of the Bill of Rights, with burning the flag and trampling it underfoot as illustrations of freedom of speech, and with Buddhist churches and snake handling churches as illustrations of freedom of religion. And
we
saw that exhibit, we were horrified and set out to establish an observance. And frankly, nationally, they were going to pass over the Bill of Rights bicentennial insignificant.
As insignificant? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Yes. So we went to Independence Park, and they did put a program together. But even with the program they put together, and there were some wonderful parts of that program. We don't have time to go into it here. But on the bicentennial day itself, we went down to the park, and we were the first ones beside the park employees to sign what was on sheepskin, a handwritten copy of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
Wow.
And it was supposed to go into a 50-year time cap. And we've discovered then that their special ceremonies that afternoon, their honored guests were to be the leading actors in a summer-long production of Inherit the Wind.
Mm. Wow.
That horrible, misrepresenting piece of work
mm-hmm.
Written in the 1950s to mock the 1925 Scopes trial, where
right.
creation defeated evolution.
Right.
So it was an intended slap against the creator.
Right, and they're twisting that, and they're pretending that evolution beat creation in that trial, but that's not the case.
Yeah.
They're saying evolution beat creation, but you need to look at the facts. So those were the main speakers, were the actors from that movie?
They were the honored guests.
Honored guests.
For the ceremonies that afternoon on the Bill of Rights Bicentennial. Actors.
Oh, my.
In a production of Inherit the Wind, which mocks the creator. Now, it's interesting that we've come to this. There are two things. The Delaware County Council had commissioned these banners. There are five different banners that are beautiful across the front of the courthouse. This is their America 250 salute mm-hmm. with the quote from the Independence, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by the creator with certain unalienable rights," etc.
They have the word creator in
but,
there. Oh, okay.
But the word creator is not capitalized.
Just small. Wow.
It's lowercase.
Yeah.
And I pointed it out to them. They mm-hmm. need to make a new banner for that middle panel.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is, again, degrading. And then you have President Biden's Bill of Rights Day proclamation in 2024, which begins with about our country being the only one in the world founded on an idea that we're all created equal. And that idea was at the heart of our Bill of Rights, launching the greatest self-government experiment in the history of the world and endowing all of us with fundamental rights. No. Our National Bill of Rights does not endow us with these self-evident rights. We're endowed by the creator, and our government secures and recognizes these rights.
Yeah. Well,
it's not the author of those rights.
Supposed to be recognizing that, but increasingly we see the government not recognizing that it is the creator who's endowed us with certain inalienable rights.
It's a profitable exercise to take the Bill of Rights and just take a yellow marker or a pencil and just draw a faint line through every one that has been violated or is in question or is being messed with. There's not much left that hasn't been.
That's what I was going to say. There's not going to be much left. And you brought up Tina Peters. Give us a little bit of information about Tina.
Tina Peters was a county clerk of elections, and she was
in Colorado, right? Colorado.
Yes, Colorado, mm-hmm. and Mesa County, I think it was. She was totally unaware of the backstory of election concerns, but she recognized as the clerk of elections that there was something going on, and there were some very fishy things coming down of the Department of from the Secretary of State in Colorado. So the state says that they wanted to do a backup an update,
mm-hmm.
and she was concerned that this update, quote unquote, would be used to wipe out the records of the previous election, most recent election, which she, as the clerk, was obligated by law to keep those records for 22 months.
Mm-hmm.
She requested the state to back them up for her, to make her a reserve copy before the update so that she would have them. They refused. She made other arrangements then to get it because the more that as time went on and things unfolded, she became very concerned that there was indeed some ill intention on someone's part.
And this is
to eliminate the records.
This is 2020, right?
2020.
Okay. Yeah.
So ultimately, she and the person did allow her to use their, it was not without their knowledge. There was an individual who at that time was concerned likewise and allowed her to use their access code for a person who it turns out was a federal undercover IT person, and that's why they could not be disclosed who they were. But at her trial, the judge refused to allow any evidence in her defense. None. Everything she brought up. That's part of the Bill of Rights. Is your right to. Yeah. And the judge refused to allow her any of the elements of her defense. Railroaded, and they frame things so that the jury is totally unaware of things that would explain a situation.
Yeah.
So she has been in jail now for a year. Just yesterday, President Trump, I mean, her lawyers have been fighting for her. She's in solitary confinement right now, unjustly, cruelly, but her lawyers have been fighting. And they, at this point, when the judge refused to issue an habeas corpus to allow her to be out, I mean, they wanted her to be able to be out while it's under appeal, but they're treating her very cruelly in the Colorado prison system.
Trying to make an example of her. Don't you dare.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, don't you dare question the results of an election that we rigged. That's basically what they're saying.
Now, there are some who question, you know, this is a state charges. They framed it so that it was state charges. However, the Constitution calls for the federal government to maintain a free republic in each of the individual states. That's not Republican with a capital R, but a republic as opposed to a socialist or a democracy or a pure democracy, I mean,
right,
or some other a monarchy within that state.
Right.
And also, these were federal crimes. This was a federal election, which had massive impacts in the fraudulent outcome.
Oh yeah.
So they're saying
saying what, just state crime, so the feds need to stay out of it. Is that what they're saying?
Yes. Yes. Wow. Yeah.
So what was
President? But I do believe,
is President Trump looking into how he could get her out?
Well, he did issue the pardon. I wish he would, that there would be a. I mean, she's a whistleblower, but I don't know if she officially filed as a whistleblower, which there's a wonderful program with Laura Logan and Tom Schindler recently about the backlash against whistleblowers through the CIGI, that Council on Investigative Inspector General.
Somebody told me about that on Tuesday. I'll have to check into that. Wow.
Yes, yes, yes.
Wow.
And Greg Stenstrom and Tim Schindler are the ones who broke that story about a year ago.
Oh, wow.
So
I'll definitely have to check, because you are the second person this week told me about that program with Laura Logan. I'll have to check into that.
Yes, yes, yes.
For sure. Yes. So has President Trump at this point issued a Bill of Rights proclamation?
No, I think he's quite distracted with other matters, but I keep checking the presidential proclamation website.
Yeah.
So it would be unusual. His proclamations in the years of his prior presidency were excellent as far as the historical content.
Good, very good.
As opposed to Democratic presidential proclamation.
He tends to know what our history really is, and like some previous president, I could name a few of them, that don't know what our history was or try to rewrite our history for sure. So you had mentioned also off air that recently the Pennsylvania Supreme Court handed down a decision that could impact the Sunshine Law in the Commonwealth.
Yes.
Give us some details on that.
There have been several lawsuits filed against local government entities for having meetings without the proper Sunshine Law regard, agendas posted, etc. And this decision came down independent of those. I don't know the case that went up there. They ruled that they can hold meetings without posting their agenda if they need to, 24 hours ahead of time. And 24 hours was the minimum time. So they've just completely gutted the Sunshine Act.
So that means that citizens will not know what's going on in a meeting that's being held in their municipality, unless they actually physically attend the meeting.
Correct. How do you even have to give notice? The whole thing is called into question.
Wow.
I'll send you the link.
Okay, fantastic. Is it being appealed? Can it be appealed?
I don't know. Well, it's the Pennsylvania Supreme Court.
Yeah.
I don't know if it can be appealed.
Oh, I don't know. And you mentioned something about inheritance. Give us a little bit of, you've looked in the scripture and talk a little bit about an inheritance.
Well, the Bill of Rights, life, liberty, and property. And that's how our forefathers understood pursuit of happiness. In the ratifying documents for the Declaration of Independence, they used the language of life, liberty, and acquisition and protection of property. That's how they defined happiness. And your right to property is rooted in the biblical thou shalt not steal. The idea of inheritance is the Lord set boundaries for his people and for nations. Moses and set boundaries for the children of Israel and Joshua. Then Jacob, he set boundaries for his sons and gave them their portion of the inheritance. And he gave the double portion to Joseph's son. It's just, and our inheritance, both spiritual and physical, the right to inheritance, the concept of inheritance, is rooted in the scriptures. And socialism and Marxism and communism are absolutely contrary to the idea of an inheritance.
Those both are atheistic thoughts. So tell me again, how did the Founding Fathers define happiness, which is completely opposite of what we think of as happiness today? So how did they define happiness?
There's a difference in happiness and pleasure. And most people think of happiness today as whatever pleases me.
Right.
But they understood happiness to be under your own vine, your own fig tree, secure in your persons, papers, houses, all those things that are in the Bill of Rights.
Sounds
security
like,
of your person, your property.
Right. Wow.
Yes.
Fantastic. So how can we celebrate the Bill of Rights?
Well, if you haven't already signed up to join us, then you can invite some friends over to your own place or meet at a local restaurant, read the Bill of Rights out loud, pray for their recovery, and thank God that we have had these blessings for this long, and then let's work to restore them.
Absolutely. And I would add to that, make sure that your local public school or even Christian school, as far as that goes, teach us something about the Bill of Rights. You know, maybe not take the entire week as the law requires, but to actually teach the true meaning of the Bill of Rights, not ACLU's interpretation of the Bill of Rights.
Right.
So, yeah.
Let's have a start.
Yeah, absolutely. So if someone wanted to go on one of your tours, how could they do that?
They can contact me through the website, American Liberty Tours, and the email address, I think, is on there for AmericanLibertyTours@gmail.com. AmericanLibertyTours@gmail.com.
@gmail.com. Okay, fantastic. I do encourage folks to do this because do not go on a tour led by the National Park Service, because you will not get the true history of Philadelphia or, as far as that goes, any place you go, you will not get the true history. But if you want to know the true history of Philadelphia, and you do Baltimore also, the Baltimore area?
Annapolis, more than Baltimore.
Annapolis, yeah. over on the other side of the Chesapeake. But if you want to know the true history of Philadelphia and Annapolis, contact Karis at AmericanLibertyTours.com and sign up, because you'll get the true history of those locations. And we need to have the true history, not the reinterpretation of history that the National Park Service gives you. It's very sad, very sad. So anyway, thanks so much, Karis. Yeah. I appreciate it. And
thank you, Diane.
You guys be safe, and I'll talk to you later.
God bless you.
God bless you too.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for joining us on American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. Please note that the views and opinions expressed by our guest are their own and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the AFA of Pennsylvania. We value your opinions as well. To continue the conversation, visit afaofpa.org, where you'll find links to all our social media. If you're passionate about defending traditional values in our state, we invite you to get involved with the American Family Association of Pennsylvania. Visit our website at afaofpa.org or write P.O. Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania 16323 to learn more and to take action. Together, we can make a difference for the families and the future of Pennsylvania.